Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 14. Sorry, I was expecting you to perform magic. Exodus 14, verse 15. Amen. Are we all there? Are you sure? What does he say? One coming. Exodus 14. And verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, is that what you have in your Bible? I'll read it the way it makes sense to me. You can be reading this one. Nigba na ni Oluwa so fun Mose pe e se ti wo fin ke pe mi so fun awon ara Israeli ki won ki o tesiwaju. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And in verse 16, he says, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell the people of Israel to go forward. God does not leave you without an instruction. Amen. So even when you forget his ever abiding presence, he does not leave you without an instruction. You know, we've been reading the book of Exodus, I think throughout these last 3 weeks or so, or 2 weeks, sorry. And it has been interesting how God told Moses, the first thing that he did with that rod was he said, throw it on the floor and then it becomes a serpent. And everything that Moses did after, when the plagues were coming, it was by stretching forth his hand and the rod. And God said, stretch forth your hand so that the waters will become blood. Stretch forth your hand and the locusts will come. And everything was by that authority. Amen. He has given us that power and authority in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then suddenly, this particular part of the Bible always intrigues me because God had told Moses, that is what is going to happen. I'm going to allow you to go, and these people are going to chase after you. And then, but by the, before the plague of the firstborn, he said, this is the last one. At this last one, nothing will happen. You are going to move. Okay? And then, I think it's chapter 8 or so, or chapter 12. He was saying that if I take them through the land of the Philistines, they will be scared because of the war they will meet, and then they will return. Okay? Because God understands that we might be feeble, how feeble we are, except we have grown and matured in understanding his ways and not his acts. Hallelujah. Until you have grown and matured, it won't take you down a route that you get there and you will quiver. And that's why the Bible tells us that anything that comes your way, count it your joy, because you are well able to overcome. And that's why the path that he took them through, everything that they did, they overcame. Because he knew that life is a life of progression. You don't suddenly attain. Okay? Not saying suddenly. No. You don't suddenly attain. It's a life of progression. Things will look that they come suddenly because people don't know the background processes that you have been going through, and then suddenly it happens. Hallelujah. And then when they got to the Red Sea, it looks like there's no way forward. It looks like There's no way forward. And then the children were crying. And then Moses went back to God and cried to God. I was like, well, what kind of thing is this? You know, it irritates me when I tell somebody, go and do this in my name. Because by the time I tell you, go and do this in my name, be sure that when you get to that other end, that person that you are going to understands the name that you are coming with. It's my own small name. You understand what I'm saying? So if I tell my son to go and meet my brother, I say, just tell him that my father said, by the time he gets to my brother, he shouldn't be scared to go and meet my brother. Or he shouldn't be scared to go at the instance of my word. I say, are you sure what you are saying? I've said, go and meet him. So it is left for me to deal with him or his own understanding of the authority in which he comes. And then he has shown them all the way. I think he showed them the different plagues. And each time, he will tell him, don't worry. He's not going to let you go. I know him. He's at his heart, but don't worry. Okay, so you are saying we should remove this one. Okay, we'll remove this one. Take another plague. Go and tell him this. Tell him to let my people go that may serve me. And then he will go. Pharaoh will say, okay, don't worry. You guys can just go outside the camp and then come back. And all these times, God was revealing is a process that was taking Moses through and the people of Israel. He was revealing himself that there's nothing that you come to me for that if I allow that it will not happen. And each time he went, and the beauty of it was that Moses and Aaron never grew tired of going back to God each time Pharaoh had in his heart. They never got discouraged. Hallelujah. And we have to get to that point where we understand that a repetitive advance towards God each time we go to him in prayer is not a wasted effort. Amen. It's a build-up. I think I said it 2 weeks ago. It's a build-up. You have to go through that process. And it gets to a point when you have gone through so many of those processes that God expects that at any instance, this should be your response. Amen. So when he got to the Red Sea, and he looked at it, and Moses, and people were crying, and Moses looked at the Red Sea, there was a conversation between Moses and God. God said, why are you crying to me? Why? Have I not told you to go forward? Have I not told you that these things will happen? Because he told him these things will happen. So if he tells you these things will happen, and it looks like this is a brick wall, the man that said it will happen. And so that it will be clear, the Bible says in verse 16, he says here, this is verse 16. Says, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Then verse 16 says, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. See, when you take God as his instruction, you know, we often say, it's not your business how he's going to do it. Hallelujah. What is your business is to have unmoving faith in the God that has given you an instruction. But so that it will not be like a mirage to Moses. He said, tell my people to go forward. And then he told Moses what he would do. He says that, stretch forth your rod and stretch around over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. It was a conversation between God and Moses. Hallelujah. And God says, you know what, this is what's going to happen. So stretch for that rod. That same rod that was sending plague and removing it over the land of Egypt is the same rod that will split the sea and cause them to walk on dry ground. There's something about that rod. It wasn't about the rod. It was about the authority behind the use of the rod. Amen. So that you won't go and start looking for a rod. For the shepherd, for the shepherd is a symbol of authority. Hallelujah. But you see, when we say the Old Testament is the shadow of the new, these are the things that happened in the Old Testament. That except it be by revelation, we will just keep saying, oh, it was by the rod. Oh, it was by this. Hallelujah. You know that the Bible says that If any man be in Christ, behold, all things are passed away, and all things are become new. Amen. So I was chatting with someone, and I said, where do you get this name from? I think it's Sarah or something. I said, where do you get this name from? I said, so you are going to give birth to Isaac? He said, yes, I give birth to Isaac. He said, but I'm not going to wait 99 years. I started laughing. I said, but you know, that Sarah did not wait 99 years to give birth to Isaac. His Old Testament is a shadow of the new. Everything we do in the new has a semblance in the old. I think it's in Genesis 18. Bible says, and Abraham was 99 years old. And God came to him and said, Sarai. S-A-R-A-I. Please let me look for that scripture. S-A-R-A-I. I think it's Genesis 18. Yes, please. When he changed his name, No, it's not in 18, it's in 17. Yeah, sorry, I'm sorry. It's in 17. Then 17:15, he said, but when 17 was going to start, verse 1 of 17 says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And then he started having a conversation with Abraham. And then in verse 15, he says, and then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Hallelujah. Amen. At that moment, all things passed away. So the one that was barren was Sarai. And then after verse 17, at what age did Abraham give birth? At what age did he give birth? 100. Because after verse 17, it took a year. He said, by this time, when I return this time next year, or is a season, you'll be with a child. So when he changed her name, Sarah, and when Isaac came, it was barely 1.5 years. Hallelujah. When he says all things are passed away, so that you begin to understand the mystery. When he says that you have become new, he said the man be born again. Is he going to enter the womb? No, Nicodemus asked, is he going to enter the womb? He had always been in the shadow of the things that God did in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So that when we come to the new, and he says that one man will take away the sin of the world, it was in the Old Testament that one man brought sin into the world. So it shouldn't be any confusion if he comes and says, one man will take away the sin of the world. And it shouldn't be any confusion if he says that all things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. If you look at the story of Sarah, all she needed to do was to agree with what God said. And if you look at the New Testament being, all that you need to do is to believe in the name of Christ and that he came that you may be saved. Hallelujah. And once that rejuvenation comes alive in your spirit, every other thing becomes new. Amen. It's as simple as connecting this and that and giving the full picture. So there should be no controversy that Christ came and took away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. And there should be no controversy that, oh, how can I say somebody is born again? But no. A new life in God starts with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so when God spoke to Moses, and he was dealing with Moses, that same rod, he said, stretch it forth over the sea, so that they will pass, the seed will pass, and then they'll pass on dry ground. You know, a lot of people like looking for, please don't, see, as long as, well, let me just say, when people are engaging in controversy, it's needless. Please read the scripture and understand for yourself. Hallelujah. So, you know, science is always trying to disprove what's in the Bible. So some people came and said, oh, there was nothing like the Red Sea parted, but it was that there was a tsunami that happened at that time. And I've not seen any tsunami after that one that separated the sea and created a wall on the left and on the right, and then that they move on dry. I've never seen that kind of tsunami apart from that one. And so you begin to wonder, which was what I was trying to tell you in the morning, that when things happen, or when you read or hear things, you need to internalize it. Process it on the inside and begin to ask yourself questions. Then when you ask yourself questions, those questions you ask yourself are the questions you are going to be able to ask anybody that is speaking to you. Amen. So why was it that the time when they got to the Red Sea, that they couldn't go back, that the tsunami came from nowhere and parted the sea so that there is a wall on the right and a wall on the left and they can move on dry ground? And that same tsunami, when it went, he kept going before them so that the land was dry. And as the last Israelite was going, the land became soft and the Egyptians were drowning. I have never seen that kind of tsunami before. Let's never take anything away from God. Amen. And you know the interesting thing? Inasmuch as there's so much controversy with the unbelievers about Christ, these stories in the Bible, there's no controversy. Have you ever thought of it? That they will tell you that, oh, the story of creation is the same. The story of Abraham trying to sacrifice Isaac is the same. Why is everything ever the same except the one that will bring salvation to people? That is different. Those are the questions you should ask yourself. God said to Moses, oh, they will walk on dry ground. And it was not recorded that they didn't walk on dry ground. Hallelujah. And then he closed after the... So imagine that all of us are, let us assume that we are all Israelites. Let me be Aaron, Seth man will be Moses. And then he's taking all of us. And then who is more or less there? Eh? Who is the smallest? Let me assume Marvelous. Let me just assume Marvelous. He's the smallest. And he's one far behind. The sea did not close until Marvelous passed. Because all of us cannot pass side by side. Abi, we will file. So somebody must be the last one. Whether it's an adult, okay, let's even ask, not even Marvelous. Let's say that man is in front. And me, I'm the last one. I'm at the back. Abi, that's how we do it now. You put an adult in front, and another one at the back, so that you guide everybody. But until the last one passed, the sea did not start closing. I remind you, Moses did not stretch forth his rod to the back that the sea should close. It's the same thing that was in his hand, that same rod, when they were in Egypt. It's the same rod that God used to part the way. Amen. Hallelujah. And I've said it just now. That rod is a symbol of authority. Hallelujah. So if there had not been, if Moses had not been backed with authority, there wouldn't have been any kind of miracle or plagues in the land of Egypt. He would have just stood, stretched for the rod, and nothing would happen. And then they would get to the Red Sea, stretch for the rod, and nothing would happen. It was the authority that God has placed in him that anything he does with that rod, you'll get results. Hallelujah. And I'm saying, don't go and look for rod. You know, this morning we read that you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. So that you don't put tradition into God's word. Hallelujah. He says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. I have given you authority. When we were reading Matthew 15 this morning, he said that these people have been with me for 3 days, and he has compassion for them, okay? That they will be hungry. And that's why he said, the boys are not live by bread, you know. I've told you before, there's one person, he is fasting. You do 40 days, you're not beating. Then when you get to the house, you just lie down on the floor and be groaning. I said, what's wrong? You're fasting. It's not, you don't reach this wala. I just keep quiet. Say, well, it's your faith. Abi,
But you know, reach this one. Even Christ understood that for 3 days, those people not eating, they will be weak. And if he set them to go, they will faint. The same way God understood that if he told the Israelites to go the way of the Philistine, they will get there. They will be afraid and they will turn back to Egypt. And it will nullify all that they have done. You know, we read in the Bible that, I think it's Psalm 71. This one is critical, so I don't want to miss it. Psalm 71. Please let me display NKJV. I've changed my Bible to Yoruba. It's not replying. Yeah, Psalm 78, verse 41. He says, again and again, they tested God and provoked the Holy One of Israel. He says, another one says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. Hallelujah. So it's possible for man to limit God because you're not going to make God move. So God knew that if they go the way of the Philistines, they will come back to Egypt. There's nothing that Moses will tell them. They will come back because of the word they will meet on the way. And so he led them the other path that they took. Amen. He says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. God is ever so mindful of how feeble we are. Hallelujah. And he meets us at that point, and then he makes us to graduate to a point of strength. And so when we read this morning in Matthew chapter 15, he was talking about the fact that they had been with him for 3 days. They will be faint and they will be weak. But then he said, what do we have? What can we give them? He said, we have 7 loaves. Hallelujah. It was what they had within them that he used to feed them. Hallelujah. Is that authority that you have from God that is going to help you anytime that you meet with an obstacle? Hallelujah. Anytime in your walk in this life, that is any issue that you are going to that you face, that authority that we have in the name of Christ is what we need. In Matthew, in Mark chapter 11. I'm going to read 22:24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Hallelujah. Let's read it again. Mark 11, from verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. But everything came from where? Have faith in God. God so much cherishes that faith aspect that to everyone, he gave a measure of faith. Hallelujah. So all the world, all the dealings with Moses and between Moses and Pharaoh was building up that faith in him so that he can understand that this is the way God deals with him. Hallelujah. And for you and I, he says, have faith. And we have faith in God. So that
what once you believe and you say, you will have whatever you say.
Now, some people will go the extra mile, but don't let bother about that extra mile. If you have faith in God, it's with time that your will, your desires will align with God's will. Amen. You know, the third man has preached and said, why prayers are not answered? And the Bible says that your prayers are not answered because you ask amiss. Amiss. So sometimes you pray and it's selfish. It's never going to be answered. Okay? And if you are standing in the gap for somebody and you are praying selfishly, quickly go and pray according to God's will. I think I've told you before, the other time that they were playing a match and they were in the semi-final, and I really wanted them to win so that the person that disappointed them will be ashamed and not quickly change it, because that's not God's will. Never you decide to make fun or put anybody down. It's not in the will of God, because he wants all man to be saved. So if you think that you know better than somebody, find a better way to tell the person and bring him up. It's not that you now openly go and shame the person and say, you are wrong, blah, blah, blah. No, it doesn't work that way. It just makes you look like Tuno. You know Tuno, ITK. The day you will not know, everybody will just be laughing at you. Say, how come encyclopedia does not know? Amen. And that's why you should always sit and listen. And then you go back and also deliver. Hallelujah. So, if he says have faith in God, because that have faith in God, it's just not a simple word, have faith in God. It's a process thing. Hebrews chapter 11. Because some people will not desire that. They say they have faith. And they say they are praying that they want to build. They want to build fifth mainland bridge. What did I say now? Hebrews. They say, I should have faith. There's now faith. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. He says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had his testimony that pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Mark 11 says, have faith in God. Is have faith in God. It's a four-letter sentence. But this is all that is tied to faith. This last verse, in verse 6, says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Just sit down and ask yourself, how can somebody please me as a person? Okay? So, if you say you are pleased with somebody, what happens? What transpires between you and that person before you come to the point of that conclusion that you are pleased with the person? Because everything the person is doing aligns with what you want to be done. Amen. Hallelujah. So when we were growing up, we were three. Myself, my sister, and I. My brother. My sister would always go to school and come back as first. My brother and I would always go to school in a class of 39, I will come back as maybe 20th, 25th. That's how we reigned all through. But she always come back with the first position. And so when the accolades are going out, my father will say, well done, my good daughter. Okay? Then my mother will look at the two of us and be like, it was from my mother's mouth that I understood that brain can be spongy. Say, why is your brain so spongy? Anytime you say, I just be laughing. So why is your brain so spongy? You know what it means? It's not retaining. You know, if you put water, it's a sponge.
the thing will just drip out. Because she's the, when we go to school, in the afternoon when we come back, she will sit down with the three of us. One on our left, one on our right, and one in front on the dining table. We don't use, after we eat on one side of the dining table, then we study on the other side. So she sits down, takes each one through, and she says, ah, you this movie, why is your brain so spongy? And so I didn't have the courage to ask her then. But I knew that every time I came back with a score that wasn't pleasing to her, the next thing is, why is your brain so spongy? Why are you not retaining everything that I've taught you? How come this one is retaining? And so, what is pleasing to her is the one that's retained and has made use of what she has deposited on the inside. But she kept wondering why? And it wasn't that I was not retaining, no. I was just playful. So that when it comes to exam, I will have forgotten. It's after the exam, when I step out of the exam, I say, this is what I should have done, oh. I said, my God. There was a particular exam. So, you know, there's practice question for exam. So, they are in the practice question. They say, which one is heavier? 1 kilogram of cotton wool or 1 kilogram of beans? I said, I'm cotton wool. Cotton wool is light now. I beg. Beans is heavier. Then my mother kept correcting. I said, no. It's 1 kilogram is 1 kilogram. So it cannot be. Do you know when I went to exam room, I saw 1 kilogram of iron and 1 kilogram of cotton wool. I still took the wrong answer. And then I stepped and said, this is the thing mommy has been saying. Because you're not committing it to heart. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. When Mark 11 says, have faith in God, he said that when you have faith, you'll be pleasing him. And then at that point, you are aligned with God's will. So when I got tired of somebody complaining that why is your brain so spongy, she wanted to push me to do exam in SS2. Because she was scared that this boy is not. So he was saying, if you do in SS2, we know whether you combine AGC with SSC, you know, you can combine and then you can go and give them. Because I knew that, I said, me, I'm not going to do that one. No? This SSC, I'm not ready. I'm not doing it. I said, this is AGC, I won't do it. When it comes to SSC, when I get to SS3, I will do my SSC. I say, if I don't pass, don't pay for GC. I'll go and work and pay for that GC. Don't come and make me spongy head. Amen. And I refused. Everything she did that I should take that exam, I said, no, I won't do it. And so when I did my SSC, I did it with all my might, everything on the inside of me. When the result came out, she couldn't believe it. Say, and I was just laughing. But I'm saying that have faith in God, as small as that sentence is so big. Amen. And the Bible was saying here that is the substance of things hoped for are the evidence of things not seen. So it makes everything that you hope for tangible if you have faith. Because you know that you are pleasing him and it's just a matter of time it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Mark 11 says that Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, meaning that without doubt, if you have that faith, without doubt, whoever says to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Amen. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created man on the sixth day and then he rested, right? And he had created the whole world. And God had not created anything new again. It was just 6 days of creation and everything that we are living on has been the things that he had created since creation. Meaning that the generations unborn will still live on the things that he had created since that time. It's not recreating. Hallelujah. It is that man is discovering himself in God and is aligning with God's will. And that's why it looks like we are striking something that is new. God is not doing anything quote in new anymore. Hallelujah. Everything that he's doing, he says that, you know, Mr. Sajer was reading on Thursday, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Okay. As he entered out of man, what God has in store for those that love him. Okay, and if you go further down, it says that it reveals them by his spirit. So what is revealing has already been there. Are you getting it? What is being revealed? Is it, if you unveil something, when you unveil something, that whatever is behind that veil has always been there. It is to the eyes, ordinary eyes, the one behind the curtain. It's just like when you carry Father Christmas and you veil for the children. The man under the Father Christmas, whatever, or the man behind the curtain has always been there. It's when you open it, everybody says, wow, you are not just going to bring it. God is not creating anything new. And that's why the preacher said there's nothing new under the sun. It's just that you are moving stepwise and accessing God the more. You are growing in God. Hallelujah. So he says, have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's why if you have faith in him, you will align with God's will. And when you begin to speak, it aligns with what God wants. And things begin to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's his will that every man be saved. Hallelujah. It's his will that we have divine health. Hallelujah. So when you speak divine health to anybody, it will come to pass. Except you don't say it. Amen. Don't forget, there's the crux of the matter and there are fringes. Abby. So in my people tradition, if you offend is it Shango? Shango? They are the God of Thunder. If you offend the God of Thunder, you go and call the God of Thunder. Abby? And then they say that when the God of Thunder strikes, so assuming that somebody takes Mr. Sajay's phone, then they'll go and call the people that worship the God of Thunder. And they look for it. Let us now say that the phone is hidden. Let me not use this place. It maybe it's in his room that is hidden. Let us use it. There's everything, Mr. Sajiri. It's in his room that is hidden. See, when they call, that is what they believe. When they call the God of Thunder, when the God of Thunder is coming, he will go, he's going to his room more. But everything on his way to that room, he will destroy it. I don't know. I'm telling you a story. I don't know if it happens. See, Mr. Sajiri took and had it as everything on that way. Then he will bring out the item and the person that took it and put the item on the person's chest. That's how they believe it. So they say something. Or something. Bata is the drum. The fringes. So it says everything connected with whoever steals anything that belongs to somebody that worshiping Shango, is going to be affected. That's it. How much more you and I? God is interested in the most important things and even the fringes. Amen. If to him, our health, our life is so important, even the things that we consider as important, is important to him. That's why it says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and every other thing will be added. Hallelujah. What you shall eat, what you shall put on, how many things? It's three. Shelter. There are three things. So when we go to social studies, there are three basic needs of man. There are wants, actually. There are not needs. Because what the Bible says is that seek ye first the kingdom of God and every other thing will be added. Hallelujah. Amen. What I'm saying is that once you strike that accord in the spirit with God, his will is known to you. And so when you step into a situation, I mean, Tetman was saying the other day, was it about Kenneth Ligon? He was going somewhere and God said you should not go and pray for that person. He's done with that person. So if you are not listening to God, and he was going there and he prayed, nothing would have happened. Amen. That's how it is when it comes to faith. Faith is understanding God's will at every particular point in time. So when you are going to go and pray for something, must ask, is this in line with God's will? Hallelujah. The second most important thing is that anything you have, God is not going to reinvent anything for you to make a way for you. Hallelujah. If thing is in your hand, it's enough. So when I was studying geography, they say in the desert, when there's a rock, there's a rock or a rock, because of exfoliation, the rock becomes rounded. All sides become rounded. Okay, the side that is exposed to the strike of the wind gets exfoliated first. If it's not in the wind direction, it will remain the original shape. Okay, but in God, it's a well-rounded thing that He's doing for us. Hallelujah. If you are doing something or anything is in your hand and you think you are not getting result, look at that thing intently. It was the same loaves that was in your hands that God made you of. It was the same rod in Moses' hand that God made you of. The same thing in your hand. God will open your eyes to reveal the new dimension in which you should use that. Moses never used that rod to separate water before. He only stretched it forth. And whatever God said will happen, will happen. Amen. It wasn't Moses that was determining the next plague. It was God. But he had to follow and use the authority that God had given him. If you don't use that authority, what you have will just remain in your hand and you will not see beyond what you are seeing. Amen. In Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, I'm going to read from verse 17. Okay, let me read from verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them, will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He says, and these signs will follow them who believe in my name. Who believe, and in my name, they will cast out demons. And he listed all the things that they will do. Without that belief and without that faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. The things in our hands, God still requires them. If it's your business that you are doing, and you say, things are not happening, go back to God. Hallelujah. And he will tell you what to do with that thing in your hand. Amen. But oftentimes, we miss the actual thing that is in our hand. Not the physical thing, but this authority is the most important thing in our hand. Amen. Because if God wants you to change business, let us assume that you are selling. Selling microphones before, and God now decides that you should be selling food. Because you're selling microphones, it's not that microphone that's in your hand that's going to use up. Because he's telling you now to go and sell food, it's because you have placed a knowledge of buying and selling within you. And then you understand the dynamics of how business works. Okay? So that when the ties change, and when there's something more profitable that comes in, you are able to recognize it. That's what is in your hand. Hallelujah. Because these things are deep. They are deeper than just we see them. Amen. Some people is wisdom, and some people is just knowledge. They are able to decipher times and seasons. And say, this is the season that we are in. It's that thing in your hand that is always going to make a way. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what God is going to always use.
Amen. For Moses, he looked like he was just the rod, but I told you, it was the authority that the rod was backed up with. And we have that authority. Amen. And we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. That's why anything should not happen to you by surprise. If you are connecting with God. This morning when we were doing welcome, he said as you continually pray and seek God's face in everything. Hallelujah. Because in the place of prayer, he will give you instruction. Now, prayer doesn't necessarily mean that you have decided to keep yourself apart and just stand in one place and pray. Prayer is communication with God. As you are moving around on a daily basis, if you ask God anything, even while you are doing it, he's going to respond. Your quiet time is your quiet time. But when you are communicating with him, out of a confined time frame, it's still prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Exodus 14:15. So fun omo Israeli ki won ki o tesi waju. He says Exodus 14:15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. The next verse. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. It says, but lift up your rod. If you don't make use of that authority, you will not see that end that you expect. And it's not that it's not there. You are the one not using what you have. Amen. Let's rise up. This one. Let's rise on our feet. Let's just talk to God. He has given us authority. He has given us a name that is above all names. And we are able to recognize how to lift up our rod. Hallelujah. How to lift up that authority that we have in his name. How to use it efficiently. Hallelujah. Aligning with the will of God in all things. Let's give him praise this morning. Thank him that you have a connection with the Spirit of God. And as we commune with the Spirit of God, things begin to happen. Because we are doing things as they come to us. He says, but lift up your rod and stretch out. Because he said, he has already told them, go forward. But they can't go forward except you make use of that authority. Step out and be bold. Thank him this morning because indeed we are following his instructions. We are living with everything that he has asked us to do. And indeed, he will grant us all our requests in Jesus' name. We will not be stranded. We will not face, even when we face obstacles, we are well able to overcome because we were able to lift up our rod, our authority, at the time that is most needed and is most efficient for us indeed in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, we pray.